Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Today is the anniversary of the murder of George Floyd. There is a new book out called His Name is George Floyd, written by Robert Samuels and Tolu Olorunipa of The Washington Post. It is a story about one man's life, in their words, and the struggle for racial justice. Joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Robert Samuels, one of the authors of this book. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us what prompted the both of you to write this book?
Well, this started as a series from the Washington Post that came out in October 2020. And we decided we wanted to expand because we learned so much about George Floyd. And we wanted the world to get an understanding of who he is, that he was more than a face on a T-shirt or that you'd see in a mural. But we also had another goal. And we thought that if we helped the world understand who George Floyd was, we could understand who we are as a society and have a deeper appreciation and a sensitivity for some of the systemically racist structures that shaped his life and hindered a lot of his ambition.
Tell us, through your research, who was George Floyd? What don't we know about him? In all the headlines and everything that happened, who was he?
Well, people talk about George Floyd being a gentle giant, and from everyone we spoke to who knew him, we know that's true. But we also learned that he was an introspective man. He liked to think in private corners, and he liked to write about how he saw the world and hoping that the world would be able to give him a chance, that through hard work, he'd be able to overcome some of his challenges. We know that he was a gregarious guy who was beloved, who complimented people and always shook their hands and told them he loved them regularly. We heard that a lot from a number of people who spoke with him. We know he was a man of faith. He was reading the book of Proverbs when he died during the period in which he was murdered. And we know he had some complications too. And a lot of those complications were because he was trying to navigate a system that did not fully treat him fairly and did not fully see him as in his fullness as a human being, as a Black man living in America.
What do you think might surprise people when they read this book?
Oh, well, I think one, George, he was funny. And we have a lot of anecdotes. His friends from high school talk about, even though he was a big guy, he was 6'6". They didn't think he had the ruthlessness to play football, and so people tried to toughen him up. But I think one of the things that might surprise people is, I know there might be some hesitance, especially in Minneapolis, about reliving the moments. I get it. It was horrifying. But what we want readers to take away from it is a deeper understanding of the fact that George Floyd's battle to breathe in America had started long before he had ever met the Minneapolis police officers on that day. And by going through the context, we hope they have a deeper understanding of systemic racism and an appreciation of, you know, a number of the people who continue to try for a better America, including a host of women in Minneapolis that we get to follow their journeys as well. They believed that the country could be a better place. And so I hope, maybe not surprising, but I hope what people really get is a story about the persistence and the hope that America can be a better place than it is today.
We are talking with Washington Post reporter Robert Samuels, one of the authors of the new book, His Name is George Floyd. Ibram Kendi, author of How to Be an Anti-Racist, calls this book a book that's essential for our times. Some pretty high praise coming from him. Why? What do you hope people gain after they read this book? What do you want them to do? How do you want them to perceive things once they've read it?
You know, I'll tell you a story if you need it. It really touched me. I was talking with one of my college roommates this weekend, and she said to me, you know, I've known you for half my life, and we have, we're very close friends. But I didn't really understand. It made me feel like I understood what it meant to be a Black man in America. And I asked her why. And she said, you know, we all walk around with, you know, a feeling about this place. But that feeling becomes so much more complicated because of the fear. And when you go and you try to put George Floyd's life in context, right? Look at the history of the land that was robbed from his ancestors and a school system that didn't fully support his first dream in the world, which was to become a Supreme Court justice. And then to go through life knowing that you have some struggles, you have some issues with substance use, and to see people treat white people with a kindness and a conscientiousness that was never afforded to you, it can be very troubling. But everyone in this story continues to go, and the challenge for readers is whether or not you can join them in the idea of making this country an equitable place, a fairer place. That's what we do as we try to do as journalists, you and me. And whether or not we can recognize, acknowledge, and confront the past, knowing the past is what it was.
It's been 2 years, and as news came out about, you know, details of the murder of George Floyd, there were protests. The nation erupted, and of course here in Minneapolis as well. There were retailers, companies like Walmart, you know, doing things, Quaker Oats abandoning the Mammy mascot, Aunt Jemima. Have things changed in those 2 years? Have enough things changed in your mind?
Things have changed. And it changed, you know, this conversation about systemic racism wasn't really taken as seriously. People did rethink what they can do and what they should do about race in America. And we did see some legislation passed on the state and local changes, state and local level. But at the same time, right, we saw the whittling down and the abandoned disintegration of the Police Reform Act that was named after George Floyd. We saw the governor struggle to get police accountability measures passed in Minneapolis. And in Minnesota, rather, I'm sorry. And those books that we were reading in 2020 that were supposed to illuminate us all are now the same books that are being banned in 2022. And we can understand and get why people are disappointed and why they might feel like there's no hope. The last chapter of the book, Finita, talk, you know, there are conversations with a number of people. There are conversations with Reverend Al Sharpton and Governor Walz and President Biden, and one with Jesse Jackson. And I asked him, how do you keep hope alive? Because I can imagine he had the feeling that I had watching this so many times over his life, that the country was on the precipice of change and something happened. And he reminded us that we had to look at the full course of history and to know and to remember how far we've come as a country, and that more people are joining in the idea of the country becoming more equitable. I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is a matter of time. And some people in this country believe that we need more time to educate white people about some of the prejudice, to have them believe that it exists. And you have that with people who think there's no time because they're afraid that their child might be the next George Floyd or they have a kid living who's going to a school that was under-resourced, like George Floyd's school was. Or they might run into a police officer who doesn't fully see their humanity in the way that we know the Minneapolis Police Department did not fully see George Floyd's humanity. So the question is really how we can reconcile those things and how we can be able to join together to build a better society.
What's your biggest hope?
You know, I'll tell you, Vanita, you know, I'm a Black man living in America. And when we started doing this project, you know, I told the Floyd family, you know, how excited I was because my wife and I were going to have a child. Over the course of the reporting, we had a pregnancy loss. And it made me, you know, it made me consider the kind of world that we're bringing kids in, brown and Black kids in particular. And my hope is that readers would see a child and try to give that child, no matter where they came from, the best chance at succeeding in this country that we all love. Because that is the greatest hope. That's the reason why we do journalism, to be able to build a better society for folks. It's an optimistic exercise. And that's my hope when people read these words, that they'll see the story of George Floyd, that they'll see the harm and wrongs that have been done when we don't acknowledge systemic racism, and that they believe in a future like so many of the people that we spoke to in Minnesota believed, that if we worked, we can make it better.
Thank you so much for your time. The book is His Name is George Floyd, written by Robert Samuels and another reporter from the Washington Post. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.